Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday class, January 2nd, 2022, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. Almost the entire chapter devoted to Abraham. We do have a verse with David as well, both of them documenting the fact that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that justification is by faith and not by works. So Abraham becomes the pattern for the entire human race for salvation, for Jews, for Gentiles, for the whole human race. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A new year, 2022, and we're one day closer to the rapture. And in this time that we're living in the apostasy of Client Nation USA, with all that is going on and around the world, as we witness the temporary ruler of this world increasing his attack and winning lots of battles, we know that he's going to lose the war. This is a great time to live. Great time for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And as we start this new year, well, the mandate to all of you is to keep on keeping on. This is the time to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So grab Satan by the nose and kick him in the ass. Keep kicking him all the time. Keep living the spiritual life. And I expect all of you to advance to maturity and glorify God this year no matter what happens, no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens in America, I expect you to honor and glorify the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. It's a great time for you. Great time for you and the invisible impact of the invisible hero. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. And you are the best of the best. So keep on keeping on. All that God has promised through His veracity, He is faithful to fulfill His promises and His word. So I look forward to this next year. And I hope all of you are looking forward to it as well. Romans chapter 4 is a very special chapter. The Apostle Paul is facing great opposition from legalistic Jews because he teaches dogmatically that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and not by keeping the works of the law. So the Apostle Paul, under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, has given us an entire chapter where Abraham is the pattern. He's the pattern for salvation. He's the pattern for justification, which is justification by faith and not by works. And that's the pattern for all mankind, Jews and Gentiles. The Jewish people look with pride at their human forefather Abraham, and so does the Apostle Paul. However, Abraham was not a Jew by physical birth. Abraham was born a Gentile. He was born an Akkadian, lived in the Sumero-Akkadian Empire of Ur-Nammu, the founder of the third dynasty of Ur. Abraham believed in Jesus Christ as a Gentile before he was 75 years old and before he left Ur. Now, you might say, well, he believed in Christ in old age. No, he lived to be 175. So when you live to be 175, if you believe in Christ at the age of 75, it would be like believing in Christ when you're 30 today. So he believed in Jesus Christ as a Gentile. Abraham became the first Jew when he reached spiritual maturity at the age of 99 and was circumcised. So Abraham was saved more than 25 years before he became the first Jew. Abraham was saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not by keeping the works of the law, because there was no law. And he wasn't even a Jew, he was a Gentile. So Abraham sets the pattern that justification is by faith and not by the works of the Mosaic law for the entire human race. Salvation is always the same. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Abraham was justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham could not be saved by the works of the law, since there was no Mosaic law. Abraham was saved long before the Mosaic law even existed. Not one person will ever be in heaven on the basis of their works. Salvation by works is a false gospel and will only result in man's eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. Salvation by works is man competing with the grace of God. Operation Grace, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Two things there. Grace, for by grace. Grace means God does all the work, we receive the benefit. For by grace you are saved through faith. Faith and grace go together. For by grace you are saved through faith. This salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift. Gift is grace. You don't work for it, you don't earn it, you don't deserve it. It's a gift. Grace, God does all the work. Salvation is a gift as a result of all the work accomplished by God the Father planned salvation, God the Son executed on the cross, God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. If you do the work, you get the glory. If God does the work, God gets the glory. Salvation by works is man declaring that his self-righteousness is equivalent to the righteousness of God. And therefore, salvation by works is blasphemy. The person who believes he is saved by his good works will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the last judgment and be condemned and thrown into the lake of fire. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ, absolutely not by works. Justification is the judicial act of God, whereby God imputes his righteousness to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Justification is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. God's righteousness plus R and man's righteousness minus R are mutually exclusive. The imputation of divine righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ is the only way that God can justify any member of the human race. It is the righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ that justifies, not man's righteousness by his human good works. So Romans 4, 1 and 2 sounds like this in corrected translation. What then shall we say? What then do we conclude that Abraham, our human forefather, has found or discovered in this matter? In fact, if Abraham was justified, declared righteous by works, first class condition of supposition, for the sake of argument, let's assume that he was, then he has a basis for boasting. He has something to boast about, but absolutely not before God. And then verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Don't you love the King James? Saith. For what saith the Scripture? Postpositive conjunction gar plus the neuter of the interrogative pronoun tis plus the nominative singular of graphe with a definite article plus the present active indicative of the verb lego. The postpositive conjunction gar. Looks like that in the Greek, G-A-R. This is Arnt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 151, says that in our verse, gar is an emphatic gar. And it should be translated indeed, or certainly, or to be sure. We'll translate it indeed. And then we have the neuter of the interrogative pronoun tis, which means what. And then, hey graphe. A H long E, that's the definite article. G R A P H long E. Hagrafe. Now, I doubt if any of you, anybody here have an interlinear that you study by? No? Don't everybody raise your hand at the same time. No? Okay, well, that's all right. If you hear a pastor say, hey, Grafe, and I'll be honest with you, you have a hard time finding any pastor that studies from the original autographs anymore. It's almost non-existent. Even men who have gone to seminaries and studied the languages, when they get into a local church, that all goes out the window, and they just study from the translations before them or commentaries, and that's too bad. And we are getting into so much junk and garbage being taught from pulpits because pastors are no longer studying from the God-breathed scriptures. I have three Bibles up here. King James, it's a translation. It's not the God-breathed scriptures. NASV, it's not the God-breathed scriptures. NIV, it's not the God-breathed scriptures. These are all translations, and each one of them's different. They're translations. What is the God-breathed scriptures? The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. Koine means common. It was the Greek, the common language of the Greek people, not classical Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. The last time I was in my doctor's office, he's a believer in Jesus Christ, and I gave his father the gospel on his deathbed. I gave his father the gospel many times, but I went in when his dad was on his deathbed, dying of cancer, and gave him the gospel. And he was so racked with cancer, he couldn't even talk. And I told him, Doc, there's no way I can repay you for all that you've done for me. And he was my cardiologist. I said, but I can tell you one thing that you can know absolutely, that you will be in heaven. And so I gave him the gospel. And after I finished giving him the grace, I said, I know you have a Catholic background. Roman Catholicism will not get you into heaven. It's faith in the completed work of Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ died for all of your sins once and for all. If you are going to be in heaven, it's because you simply believe in Him and Him alone. Not your Roman Catholic works, but simply faith in Jesus Christ. And he reached out, he couldn't talk, he grabbed my hand and he squeezed it as hard as he could squeeze it. I said, Doc, I'll take that as if that you believe in Christ as your Savior. I'll see you in heaven. He died that night. But his son is my cardiologist now. And the last time I was in his office, I'm telling him, I said, Doc, I gave him the Psalm 23 series, and he's been listening. He goes, I thought it was going to be one class or two classes. There's 50 classes on that. And I say, yeah, you need to get all 50 of them too. And he said, you were studying from the Hebrew? I said, well, the Old Testament was written in, not in Latin, because he also has this Catholic, all the Ruggieroli's have this Catholic background. It's not Latin. I said, written in Hebrew and Aramaic. He goes, Aramaic. What book was written in Aramaic? I go, Daniel? Oh. I said, so you study? I said, I went to seminary to learn Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek, so I can study from the original languages and communicate what God is trying to say to us in His Word. So you, when you hear a pastor, and you have a hard time hearing any pastor give you the original autograph, hagiographe, that is technical for the God-breathed scriptures, the holy scripture, sacred scripture, hagiographe. That's what we have here. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is pasagraphe. All scripture is God-breathed. Theopneustos, that's the true doctrine of inspiration. All scripture is God-breathed. So here we have hagiographe, used exclusively for the sacred scriptures, the holy scriptures, the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have the verb lego. L-E-G long O, lego. In quotations from Scripture, it means to say or to communicate. So the corrected translation is, indeed, what does the Scripture say? And now, the Apostle Paul quotes from Genesis 15, verse 6. So turn over to Genesis 15, 6. Should be able to find it. It's the first book. Now, unless you have a Hebrew text, and then it'll be the back in the Hebrew text. Genesis 15, 6. Then he believed in the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. In the Hebrew, we have the conjunction vav prefixed to the hifil perfect of the verb aman, plus the preposition baith prefixed to the tetragrammaton, plus the vav conversive prefixed to the verb kashav, plus the preposition lamed with the third person singular masculine suffix and the noun tzedakah. The vav is a transitional vav, and it's either translated then or now. And then we have the Hebrew verb aman. Aleph A-M-A-N. Aman. And this is where we get the word amen from the noun amen. And amen in the cal stem literally is used for columns that would support a roof. And it meant to support or to confirm. And then in the hifil stem, which is what we have, it means to trust. It gives a great picture of what it is to trust. Columns that are trusty supporting the roof. So to trust or to believe. The third person singular masculine subject, he referring to Abraham. Now Abraham believed. Now he, Abraham, believed. And then the preposition baith, that's bishava, baith, and the preposition baith means in, and it's joined with the tetragrammaton. YHWH, this was the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures, the Tetragrammaton. It was so holy that the Orthodox Jews never read that. If you read that, it would be something like Yahweh. If we bring it across Jehovah. But when the Orthodox Jews saw that, they would read Adonai. They wouldn't even say the name. It was too holy. Now, the Tetragrammaton sometimes is used for God the Father. Sometimes it's used for God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's used for God the Holy Spirit. It's used for all three members of the Godhead. Context decides. Here, it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Tetragrammaton, translated Lord, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the verb kashav. C-H-A-S-H-A-B. Kashav. Kashav is a commercial technical term that meant to credit to someone's account. It came to be the verb to impute something to someone. God the Father imputed his perfect righteousness to Abraham as a result of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The vav conversive converts the imperfect into a perfect. The preposition lameth with the third person singular masculine suffix is to him, to Abraham. And then the noun tzedakah. T-S-Shavah-D-A-Q-A-H. Tzedakah. And tzedakah is righteousness. This is plus R, the perfect righteousness from God. So the corrected translation. Now he, Abraham, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it, his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, was credited to him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. Now he, Abraham, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it, his faith in Jesus Christ, was credited to him for righteousness. Now let's go back to Romans 4. Go back to Romans 4, verse 3. Paul says in verse 3, indeed, what does the Scripture say? Quoting Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the proper noun Avraham plus the aorist active indicative of the verb pistewo plus the dative singular of theos with a definite article. The post-positive conjunction de is transitional and therefore is translated now or then. And then we have Avraham, which is Abraham, and then we have pistewo, which is used to translate amen. P-I-S-T-E-U long O. Pistewo, that's used to translate the Hebrew verb amen in Genesis 15:6. It means to believe. This is where we get our noun pistis, faith. From pistewo, and then the Tetragrammaton is translated by Paul with to theo. That's the dative of theos with the definite article. T long O, T H E long O. To theo, in the God. Emphasizing the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is another great verse that teaches the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the God, and translating the Tetragrammaton Jehovah, Lord, in Genesis 15:6. Indeed, what does the scripture say? Quoting Genesis 15:6. Now Abraham believed in the God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. This is the conjunction chi, plus the aorist passive indicative of logizomai, plus the dative singular of autos, plus the prepositional phrase eis, plus the accusative singular of dikaiosune. Chi is connective, translated and then logizomai, used to translate kashav. L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I, logizomai. Logizomai means to credit to someone's account. It came to me be the main verb for imputation, to impute. The intensive pronoun autos is used for the third person personal pronoun, and the dative singular is to him, to Abraham. The preposition eis is for, and then dikaiosune, for righteousness, plus R. Indeed, what does the scripture say? Quoting Genesis 15:6. Now Abraham believed in the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it, his faith in Christ, was credited to him, to Abraham, for righteousness, plus R. You get that? I'll give it to you again. Indeed, what does the scripture say? Quoting Genesis 15:6. Now Abraham believed in the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it, his faith in Christ, was credited to him, to Abraham, for righteousness. Plus R. 1. When Abraham heard the grace gospel, he was a Gentile. He was an Akkadian living in the third dynasty of Ur. When Abraham heard the grace gospel, he was a Gentile, an Akkadian living in the third dynasty of Ur. 2. The result of Abraham hearing the gospel is clearly stated in Genesis 15:6 and quoted by Paul in Romans 4:3. The result of Abraham hearing the gospel is clearly stated in Genesis 15:6 and quoted in Romans 4:3. Three, Abraham believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the righteousness from God was imputed to him. Abraham believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the righteousness from God was imputed to him. Four, Abraham was justified, declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham was justified, declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Five, therefore, Abraham is the pattern of Old Testament justification and the pattern for all justification. Abraham is the pattern of Old Testament justification and the pattern for all justification. Now, Christ was revealed in different ways during Old Testament history. But however Christ was revealed, positive volition always responded one way: salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. 6. All Old Testament saints were saved the same way. All Old Testament saints were saved the same way, by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. All Old Testament saints were saved the same way, by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 7. At the point of faith in Jesus Christ, the perfect righteousness of God is imputed to each one of us. At the point of faith in Jesus Christ, the perfect righteousness of God is imputed to each one of us. Eight, justification is by faith in Jesus Christ and absolutely not by our works. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ and absolutely not by our works. 9. We are justified, we are declared righteous for one reason and only one reason: because at the moment of faith in Christ, we were imputed with the righteousness from God. We are justified or declared righteous for one reason, only one reason: because at the moment of faith in Christ, we were imputed with the righteousness from God. So, now, verses 1 through 3 in corrected translation. What then shall we say? What then do we conclude that Abraham, our human forefather, has found or discovered in this matter? In fact, if Abraham was justified, declared righteous by works, first-class condition of supposition. For the sake of argument, let's assume that he was. Well, he has a basis for boasting. He has something to boast about. But absolutely not before God. Verse 3. Indeed, what does the Scripture say? Quoting Genesis 15:6. Now Abraham believed in the God, Jesus Christ, and it, his faith in Christ, was credited to him, to Abraham, for righteousness. Now we have verse 4 and verse 5. That's the deep point. After verse 3, we have verse 4 and verse 5. You got that? In verse 4, we have, now to him that worketh. In verse 5, we have, but to the one who worketh not. So in verse 4, we have him that worketh. Verse 5, but to him who worketh not. In verse 4, we have the consequences. The consequences of trying to be justified by works. Trying to be saved by your works. Here's the consequences of that, verse 4. Then in verse 5, we're going to see the result of justification by faith. Now to him that worketh. This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the articular present middle participle of ergazomai. The postpositive conjunction de is a conjunction of contrast. Conjunction of contrast, you translate that, but. All right. It sets up a contrast between, one, It sets up a contrast between verse 3 and verse 4. 2, it sets up a contrast between justification by faith and justification by works. 3, it sets up a contrast between salvation by grace through faith in Christ with no salvation by the false gospel of works. Sets up a contrast between salvation by grace through faith in Christ with no salvation by the false gospel of works. But, and then ergazomai, E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Ergazomai. Couple of things on ergazomai. One, from this verb we get the noun ergon, which we have been studying in several of our passages, especially 1 John 2:28. E-R-G-O-N, ergon. That is the Greek word for work. Two, this is the basis of the unbeliever's indictment and being cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:12-13. Kata ta erga, according to the norms and standards of their works. At the last judgment, they will be judged, indicted, and cast into the lake of fire according to the norms and standards of their works. Kata ta erga. So this is the basis of the unbeliever's indictment and being cast into the lake of fire. Three, ergazomai means to work. To work with one's hands. Sometimes it means to work very hard, to work night and day. And boy, there's a lot of self-righteous, legalistic people that are trying to do as much good works as they can to get into heaven. But it ain't going to work. Four. These are legalistic, self-righteous unbelievers trying to get into heaven by their works. Legalistic, self-righteous unbelievers trying to get into heaven by their works. The articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun. So we translate it, but to the one who works for salvation. But to the one who works for salvation. What's the consequences of that? And then we have in the King James, is the reward not reckoned of grace? Hamisthas ou logizetai kata karin. We have the nominative singular of misthos with the definite article plus the present middle indicative of logizomai with the objective negative ou, plus the prepositional phrase kata, plus the accusative of karis. Misthos. M-I-S-T-H-O-S. Misthos. A couple of things. One, literally, misthos means a payment for work that you have done. A payment for work you have done. It means, two, it means wages or compensation for work that you have done. Third, it means to receive reimbursement for your works. Two, for the unbeliever trying to be saved by his works, his compensation, His reimbursement is that he goes deeper in debt. For the unbeliever trying to be saved by his works, his compensation, his reimbursement is that he goes deeper in debt. 3. Not only does he have no salvation, but he's getting farther and farther away from salvation. Not only does he have no salvation, but he's getting farther and farther away from salvation. Logizomai again means to credit to someone's account. The objective negative ooh slams the door. It absolutely is not according to grace. Kata plus the accusative of charis. It absolutely is not according to the norms and standards of grace. So 1, works and grace are mutually exclusive. Works and grace are mutually exclusive. 2, salvation by works is a false gospel. No gospel at all. 3, salvation by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, is the true gospel. The true gospel. The grace gospel. So the correct translation, but to the one who works for salvation, his payment, his reimbursement, his compensation absolutely is not credited according to the norms and standards of grace, but of debt. We'll take our break, give you a chance to go out and cool down because it's so hot out there, and then come back in for part 2.